the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
We're back! You ready? Tim and Sid! Hour number three. Swag!
Sportsnet 590, the fan, Sid Sixero, Tim McAuliffe. Final hour here on Tim and Sid. Hope you're enjoying your day. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, we're going to head down to Miami and talk to Armando Salguero, a columnist down there, plus a radio host at WMEN 640. We haven't really dove into the Ozzie Guillen thing.
No.
And we will do so this hour. Also, rapid fire. Stories of the day, the usual suspects.
Before we get to Michael Grange, a couple tweets coming in at Tim and Sid. Eric Sandu, oh my God, it's on the wall of every public school in Toronto. Keel and Lawrence, stand up, hashtag Burby. Eric Sallow, used to rock weekend-long Burby tournaments with my buds way back in the day, hashtag old school things. I think that that'd be a cool show to do, old school things, Sixero. And Paul Jones, friend of the show, no bat, so we used to use a broomstick for playing wall ball in my hood. Had some good junk when the tennis ball was wet. See, that was,
but that's,
see,
that's illegal in our spot. A way, yeah. Way to go, Gaylord Perry. Yeah. Way to doctor up the tennis ball for
it's called
Burby.
A spitball, Jonesy.
Jonesy, come on. You can't,
cheater.
You can't be doctoring stuff like that. That's unfair, Jonesy.
And for those who don't know what Burby is, Tim Gallant sent an entire website dedicated to the Toronto Burby League that has several teams. It's hilarious, including the Warden Warriors, who use the symbol of the Wu-Tang Clan
really
as their logo, which I find awesome.
Do they know the significance? Is it one of those things?
Where I
they,
think so.
They, yeah, okay, yeah, they obviously
I completely
know.
Do, yeah.
Shout out to Jonesy. Always contributes on Twitter. We love Jonesy.
I say Grange played Burby, or at least a wall ball variety of Burby.
I think we have our first question. Michael Grange from New York covering the Sens and Rangers. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good.
Did you play Burby, and how physical did the games get?
We would call it wall ball. But yeah. Yes, played more than my share. And in particular, I would say I peaked in the summer, I think going into grade six, when we moved at the end of the school year. So it was just like, we had no friends. It was just me and my brother. That was it.
Yeah.
And we would just basically spend the entire day beating each other up or playing wall ball.
Playing wall ball, yeah.
For the record, Mike, I peaked in the summer of 99. Don't need to get into it, but that's, we all have our moments.
Now, did you chalk the square on the wall, or did you get bad and go with spray paint?
Well, we would have been one of these. We lived in the city, man. So there was, they were already there.
They're already there, yeah.
Choice, and the real challenge, as I recall, was finding the right ball, because a tennis ball, if you played a lot, like it was just a little bit too light to throw.
Yeah.
You know, and then the idea were those kind of three colored spongy balls, which were the perfect weight, but they weren't very durable. They would break.
Oh yeah, you could split it. If you had a good batter, you could split those red, white, and blue balls in half.
Yeah, those things.
And I was one of those guys who'd throw like a one hitter and lose 6-0.
Well, ho hum, another day for Grange on the range. Speaking of taking swings, Mike, Sens get to take a swing at the top dog in the Eastern Conference starting tonight. Who's feeling more pressure here?
Obviously the Rangers. I mean, there's no doubt. Anytime you're the number one seed, especially in the NHL and today's NHL and this Eastern Conference, John Tortorella was saying today, I mean, it sounds like he's trying to play down the pressure, but he was saying, look, every time you make the playoffs, you're going to make a good team. You're going to play a good team. It's hard to make the playoffs, so you throw the seeds out the window. And there's a certain element of posturing to that. But I think it's true. I think it's true. There just is not that big a gap. And particularly this matchup, the Senators, I think they took 7 out of 8 points against the Rangers through the course of the season. They put 16 goals past them, which probably is more than any other team did. And so I think in that respect, the Rangers are. They, you know, they've had a great season. They've had no letdowns, and yet if they cough it up here in the first round, which is not inconceivable, it's a disaster. So short answer, absolutely the Rangers.
Friend of the show, Michael Grange, in conversation with Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So does that make John Tortorella more or less entertaining?
He's been very, he's been medicated the last couple of days.
That's a great way to explain.
I've never really dealt with him very well. I don't think at all, actually. And I went out to their practice facility yesterday, which is, I'm not even sure it's in the state of New York so far. That'll be $110 cab fee, please. So just let Nadir know. So shoot him an email.
Yep. He's probably listening.
And
we have our daily rap with him.
And so yeah, I was expecting him to be spitting and snarling and mocking people, and he was very calm, very sanguine, seems legitimately like he was very, very excited to start the playoffs. He held his practice short yesterday, like they cut it off, and you know most of these coaches. You know, there's this kind of an anxiety about them. He exudes confidence. He just thinks his team is absolutely poised to play. And I found him charming almost yesterday. A little snarkier today at the skate, but still, he's one of those guys. You know, even when he doesn't really want to talk, he's entertaining and interesting. And so, people like me like it.
Game one, Sens Rangers, happens tonight at MSG. Michael Grange is down in New York joining us here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike, if things don't go the Rangers' way, just do yourself a favor. Don't try and trick Tortorella with your words because he's going to go after somebody, obviously, if this doesn't go his way. Brooksy is normally the target. Don't let it be you with your word tricking.
I tend to be a target for those kind of things. Like,
really?
There's something about the way I ask questions that seems to make people think I am trying to trick them. And so what's that for? It could happen.
That would be awesome.
I mean, they're innocent questions, but people just think that I've got an agenda that I haven't thought of yet.
If he goes after someone outside of Brooksy, that would be awesome if it was Grangey. Grangey,
you get that through your head, Grangey? You get that through your head?
Except he wouldn't know who I am. He's like, whatever your name is, whoever you are, bandwagon jumper. But I'm from Sportsnet. They wouldn't care.
Michael Grange, of course, from Sportsnet, joining us on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So we established the Sens win the season series. Last two games by a combined 7-1. Does a Rangers power play make them vulnerable? It always seems like heading into the playoffs, special teams become a bigger factor. Just ask the Vancouver Canucks from last night. Does the fact that their power play struggles make this a closer series than many think it is?
That would be one factor. I mean, I guess what the Rangers would tell you is that their power play's improved the last sort of month of the season. They made a small adjustment. They changed the personnel a little bit and put Derek Stepan on the point. And I think that helped. So if you just take out that last month, we're doing like Maple Leafs arithmetic here, but if you just take the last month, yeah, the power play is pretty good. And I think the flip side is the rest of their game is so tight, so solid. I don't think it's going to be the kind of thing that kills them. I mean, keep in mind, I think Boston made it, you know, they did pretty well last year, and I think their power play was like 11 out of 80 or something. It was terrible. So, So I think if you're playing well and your goaltending's good, you can overcome it. But they certainly have enough ability. When you got Brad Richards and Gaborik and that kind
me.
Of quality on your power play, I think that's why people are mystified, is because it should be a good power play based on personnel.
Michael Grange here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Mike is in New York for game one of the Sens and Rangers tonight. Mike, we've heard a lot of the Calder Cup Binghamton victory and its role and how some of the younger kids came along this year a lot quicker than was originally expected. And people are also pointing at the Binghamton run for what we're about to see. How helpful will that experience have been for a lot of this roster going into tonight?
Well, Paul McLean seemed to suggest it would be. You know, you're used to playing that long in a season. You're used to paying that kind of price, and certainly the intensity would help. And I guess if you are one of those guys at Jared Cowan, whoever it might be, you can look at yourself and say, hey, in really key situations and important games, I raise my level. And I think that's got to be a confidence booster anyway. But if it doesn't work, you know, that line of thinking will be gone. I mean, I don't know if it's. I think, you know, both of these coaches were saying experience is a bit overrated anyway. And what's funny is as good as the Rangers are, they're not a really experienced team. Collectively, they've done nothing in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit. So for the Senators to be kind of cast as the underdogs without a ton of experience, they probably have as many or more man games when you look at Albertson and Spezza and Gonchar and a few of those guys as the Rangers do. I mean, the Rangers got some pretty experienced hands, but their key guys haven't won a playoff series.
Sid chuckled at me when I described my X factor, Craig Anderson, as being Jordan-like at MSG. 6-0 with a 1.13 goals against average and 2 shutouts. This guy, when he's on his game, could be a difference maker.
Oh, I absolutely think so. And as much as Lundqvist deserves all the credit he's got,
yep.
I was talking to Alex Holt, who's the, I don't know what the string he is now with the Senators, not that they brought up Ben Bishop, but, you know, he was saying that the Senators' style, which is a very aggressive forechecking style, I mean, you've got Carlson ends up chasing the puck behind the opponent's net half the time. They love it. They think it's a big, Alfredson says it's been a big factor in their success this year. But it does yield odd man rushes. If you make a mistake with that approach, you are vulnerable at the back end. And so, meanwhile, you know, Lundqvist has had the benefit of playing behind a team that is basically just trying to, everything they do is designed at stopping shots on net. They, you know, they block shots. They do all that kind of stuff. So Anderson's numbers. I wonder if you. I'm sure there's people who do this kind of stuff. But if you were to adjust for quality of chances, I bet you they would hold up pretty favorably. And as you say, his record against the Rangers, both when he was with Ottawa and with Colorado, was stellar. And Lundqvist, for all his hype, I mean, he's not a proven playoff goaltender.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out a lot about him beginning tonight. Game one down in MSG, Sens and Rangers. Michael Grange, Mike, great stuff as always. We'll touch base soon. Thanks, man.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
There's Michael Grange of Sportsnet in New York City, I'm sure, having a tough time finding things to do in the area while attending the Rangers and Sens.
It's dead down there.
Manhattan, not a lot going on.
It's dead.
When we return, Armando Salguera will make his Tim and Sid debut.
Finally.
As Ozzie Guillen attempts to extract his foot from his mouth.
Oh, there's some backtracking going on.
And make good with Cuban Americans. We'll discuss it next in Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tim and Sid.
Data's report, over. Over, over. All barricades erected, area locked down. Data's report, over.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. John writes in, and he was the guy talking about Burby Wallball. And he said to me, fellas, serious, I'm mid-50s from BC, play hockey, soccer, and rugby. No idea what Burby is. I apologize, John. Burby / Wallball is when you spray paint a box on the wall. You play usually one-on-one, pitcher versus hitter. Strike zone is inside that square, and it's a form of baseball. So I apologize immensely if I offended you in any way, shape, or form. Now I feel bad.
I still say you should have known it. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Lee writes in, says, love playing wall ball, but it sucked when the ball went on the roof after foul tipping it backwards.
Wow.
So true.
Very
so
true.
That's when we got Cosmo to go up on the roof for us at the school. And he would go and grab us, the tennis balls, and just throw them all
down. So Cosmo was your spaz friend that you would send up to the room?
No, Cosmo was the janitor at our school.
Oh, there you go.
And the janitor would go up for us and actually grab those balls.
We always had the one janitor who was, like, really cool with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're like, would,
yep.
Was one of the guys.
Yep.
So I
that was Cosmo Calla for us, honestly. Paul Sterling writes up, grew up in the beach, played all the time. Jay Rocca, Tim and Sid are killing me with the old school playground names. Burby wall ball, hitting, throwing, spray painting, strike zones. And Ron Mexico writes in, the Ron Mexico, wall ball was the thing in our hood. We kept stats, averages, home runs, ERAs, the whole bit. # you guys rock.
So there is your wall ball lesson for today.
Yeah.
Hopefully you learned something.
Burby, though.
Burby, wall ball.
Yeah, I know some know it as wall ball, but the cool kids played Burby.
No games being played right now down in Miami, Timmy.
No.
Serious
but
stuff.
But I bet you they played wall ball. Let's ask Armando.
Let's start light. Yeah. We're very happy to have Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald, also radio host on WMEN 640. Armando, welcome to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
Well, guys, I hate to tell you, in the United States, it's called stickball.
Stickball, okay,
no,
yeah.
No, we're all learning something.
Hey,
today,
fellas, right? You want to play some stickball?
Stickball, there you go.
Stickball.
Yeah, stickball. I know stickball.
Forget about it.
But did you guys do the thing, and I know that, because if it was one-on-one, you can't really play the proper form of stickball, but did you have the against-the-wall spray paint for the strike zone? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, either that or, you know, chalk.
Yeah.
Whatever you could find.
Well, chalk was even better. Chalk was even better because if you hit the line and the chalk sprayed up, there was no argument as to whether or not it was a ball or a strike.
Absolutely. and the best bat is always the broom handle.
Yeah, but you're not the first guy to bring that up today,
Jonesy,
Armando.
Was talking about the broom handle.
The broom handle had some sizzle on that bat, apparently. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll teach you how to hit, though, swinging a broomstick as opposed to a bat.
Speaking of taking swings,
oh,
goodness gracious, Armando, it has been a heck of a week for Ozzie Guillen. I'll ask you the generic opening question. Has it died down a bit since the apology this week?
Yeah, it has. Obviously, the last couple of days were a little hectic down here. Tomorrow night is going to be a test because that's the first time that the Marlins come back into town since Ozzie was suspended. But, you know, I'm expecting, unless I miss my guess, unless I don't know what the folks down here are thinking, and I think I do, that it's going to be pretty much business as usual. I think business as usual being defined as the Marlins, you know, play a game and there's not 200 people outside trying to burn Ozzie in effigy or trying to get him fired or trying to, you know, get him somehow disciplined further after the 5-game suspension that he's already been handed.
On the line with Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. Armando, we knew it was kind of not if, but when Ozzie would put his foot in his mouth because, frankly, that's what we love about him. But did he find a way to say the stupidest thing you could say in Miami in his first weekend as a manager?
He could have said, "I love the devil," and it would have been better than "I love Fidel Castro." He could have said, you know, "I sacrifice young babies."
Oh, goodness.
And it would have been, you know, frowned upon, but...
It would have been frowned upon, yeah.
It wouldn't have been as big of an uproar as "I love Fidel." He did absolutely pick the worst combination of words that one could ever utter in South Florida and hope that it goes away and you can get away with it. Those are just words that it just frays too many nerves. It hurts too many people. Folks get all crazy down here when that happens. And I got to admit to you, it hurts me too, because obviously, I was born in Cuba. My parents, you know, brought me to the United States. It broke my family up. My uncle was killed in a firing squad, and so I know what that's all about. And so when someone, you know, espouses love for the guy that did that to a lot of people's families, we got problems.
On the line with Armando Salguero, sports columnist for the Miami Herald, also radio host WMEN 640 down in South Florida. Armando, considering the emotions we're talking about, so real, so raw, when you hear some of the things that you just told us, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking an apology isn't enough. Do you think an apology was enough?
Well, it's going to have to be enough because that's the discipline that is out there right now. I would say to you that there are a lot of people that don't believe that it's enough. But at the end of the day, I think that most folks, they're willing to give Ozzie a break because he did have a very sincere press conference. He did show a lot of contrition. It you know, he almost broke up a couple of times. He didn't apologize in one language. He apologized in two languages, as you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but he has reached out, and he is talking to some dissidents, some Cuban dissidents. He did, I think also he donated $150,000 to some cause that I'm not all that familiar with. The bottom line is he has done all that he could to pretty much put this away and put this under the rug. What's interesting is that South Florida is also home to a large Venezuelan population,
yeah.
A Venezuelan exile population. And as you know, Hugo Chavez is a socialist leader in Venezuela and a good friend of Fidel's. And so it incensed those people as well. And so he had all sorts of problems coming at him from every which way.
On the line with Armando Salguera, who works for the Miami Herald and WMEN 640 in South Florida. There is a contingency out there that says the tough question here, that his suspension goes against freedom of speech. What do you make of that?
Well, he has freedom of speech. He was free to say what he said. He was free to make his point. But you see, freedom of speech is a two-way street. He is free to say that, and people are free to react.
Mm-hmm.
People are free to give their counter opinion. Also, freedom of speech is when people are saying, well, you know, he shouldn't be disciplined because that is usurping his freedom. Well, not really. An employer, and a private employer at that, has the right to discipline an employee for whatever, you know, whatever proposed or so-called breaking of company rules that you got. Freedom of speech in the United States and in the Constitution is protecting a person from retribution from the government. The Miami Marlins are not a government.
Mm-hmm. The ironic thing in that, too, is at least in my mind, is that the same government and the same laws that allow him to say what he said wouldn't allow him to say it in some other countries, and some could argue in a country like Cuba.
Oh, no, he could say what he said in Cuba, but I mean, he would be lauded for that, but he would never be able to say
the flip side.
Disagree with Fidel Castro. That at that point, he's got an issue, he's got problems, and it would be a lot worse for him than a 5-game suspension, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald and radio host on WMEN 640 in South Florida. Moving it, if I could, Armando, to a baseball perspective, and the hope is a lot of laws in Cuba will lighten over a period of time, and you may see more and more Cuban baseball prospects make the move to American baseball. I wonder, considering what has happened here, Armando, have the Marlins been damaged of at any point in the future attracting young Cuban prospects because of what was said by Ozzie Guillen?
No, not at all. I think that in that regard, the capitalist system takes over, and the capitalist system is you have a talent, and you want to be paid for that talent, and that talent typically goes to the highest bidder. And so, if another, say for example, the latest guy was Yoenis Cespedes, who went to the
Oakland A's.
Yep. If he comes out and the Marlins are offering him more money than the A's, which they did not do, then my guess is that he's going to go to the Marlins. I don't believe that there are any Cuban baseball players that would come out of that system right now and go, well, I'm absolutely not going to play for Ozzie Guillen because he loves the guy that I'm trying to get away from. I think more likely, the agents who represent these people will go, look, the Marlins are going to pay you more money than anybody else. You're going to live in a city that's going to welcome you, and you're going to pretty much feel at home. It's an international city. And did I mention that the Marlins are going to pay you more than anybody else?
So, Armando, what you're telling me is whether it's English or Spanish, money talks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's not about the Reds. It's about the green.
Yes. As Wu-Tang Clan once taught us, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill. Hey, great stuff. And hopefully the Marlins can turn it around so you have some good things to talk about. Although it might be better to talk about a bad Marlins squad this year.
Well, you know, they've got this new stadium. They've got the new uniforms. They've got the new colors. They've got the new insignia. They haven't even been the Miami Marlins before. They've been the Florida Marlins. You know, there are folks that wonder about their colors. I don't know if you've seen the stadium. It looks like what happens when a submarine and a spaceship have a baby. But, you know.
Yeah. We were all over the Muhammad Ali trotting out and how kind of ugly
that
got.
Worst?
Oh.
Oh. Terrible.
Yeah. But great stuff on this, Armando, and hopefully we'll touch base down the road.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, there is Armando Salguera of the Miami Herald and a radio host on WMEN 640 Sports in South Florida.
I enjoy that. He brought some very interesting stuff to the table.
Great perspective on the situation down there.
Definitely. We're going to step aside, get ready for primetime sports. Rapid fire. Story of the day, Tim. I have a high-stakes poker game that's being set up that will blow your mind.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Woo!
This is awesome.
Talking about money talking.
Yeah.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, the fan, hashtag money.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Tim and Sid.
Sound off, players. How do you get this party started?
Chance.
How do you get more? How do you disappoint your mom?
Chance.
How do you get more swagger in your wagger?
Sportsnet 590, the fan.
One, two, three.
Hey. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, the fan. Little Maestro Fresh West. I always let my backbone slide. Out of Senator O'Connor. By way of Lamoureux, I think is where he finished. But really a Senator O'Connor boy. Sherry Rosen of Whoopi, congratulations, my friend. You have won a $100 gift card to Boston Pizza. Go to bostonpizza.com. Check out the full menu and find a location near you. Maybe one day, Sid will join you. Thanks to everyone who entered to win today. Listen tomorrow. Three more chances. $100 gift cards at Boston Pizza.
Love Boston Pizza.
I know you do.
I love Boston
Pizza. You're a big fan of Boston Pizza.
I had a wing craving yesterday. I still haven't taken care of. May go to a Boston Pizza today.
All meat wings.
It's a pretty funny ad.
It is.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good idea, too.
Just thought of a Tim and Sid promotion, too.
What's that?
Let me know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the legalities. I'm a little loose on this. I'm going to throw it out there. You don't like it, you could send it back.
All right.
Tim and Sid poker tournament.
It's never been done before. You are brilliant. You, my friend,
poker tournament.
Are a trailblazer. Go on.
Well, now you're not invited. How about a $1 million buy-in?
You would not be invited to this.
No, I'm not invited to this.
Neither would I.
Dateline Las Vegas. A never-before-seen $1 million for a buy-in tournament at a World Series poker event this year will generate the richest top prize in poker history.
$1 million buy-in.
$1 million. They got 30 guys. They could extend it to close to 50, but they're going to cap it around then. Looking at 48. It's going to happen July 1st in Las Vegas. How comfortable would you have to be, well, I guess, or stupid rich,
right,
to drop a, the comfort has nothing to do with it, to drop $1 million to buy in on a tournament?
One of my favorite stories of all time was when Daniel Negreanu used to come in to the previous incarnation, and one day I was just shooting the breeze with him, and I'm like, you guys must not be stimulated by playing, you know, like 5-10 poker anymore. You might even, like your buy-ins but at like, 500, 1,000.
Well, wait a second. Are those guys doing that anyway?
Like, no, but they started that way.
Well, that's how they built their way up,
right.
Correct.
And then these stakes just get higher and higher and higher, and then you lose the thrill of gambling because when you're playing for big money, you're playing not paying for $1,000 or even $10,000. So I asked him in their private games, what this was about 10 years ago now, what was the most bet and called on one hand? And he wouldn't tell me. And I said, is it over $1 million? Just gave me a little wink. On one hand.
So the wink means yes?
Yeah. Over $1 million bet and called on one hand.
I'd love to know what he had in his hand at that point.
Yeah, or whoever was playing the hand.
I would love to have known.
So the $1 million buy-in may have already happened behind the scenes a couple times for them to throw it out in front of the scenes. Either way, it'd be fantastic. Although I heard that they're kind of going to spread it out a little differently, the prize money, so that there's not so much weighted for first. So if you do invest your $1 million, there's more of a chance of you at least getting some of it back.
What do you think of that? I don't mind that.
It's ridiculous.
You think it's ridiculous. Winner take all?
No, I just think it's ridiculous that they're having a $1 million buy-in tournament.
In terms of spreading it out.
Yeah. It's ridiculous they're having a $1 million buy-in tournament. Honestly. Like, think of what you could do with $1 million. It's gross excess that shouldn't be advertised, but that's just my man's opinion.
What's this world coming to, Tim? What's this world coming to? Yeah. Rich guys spending money.
Forget
gambling.
Forget me trying to actually say something with ethics and values in it. $1 million buy.
It is. I'm not disagreeing. It's a ridiculous amount of
money.
Does
it happen? I just don't advertise it. That's all I'm saying.
Tim, let me ask you a question. If somebody backed you, are you confident enough? Because you're a far better poker player than I am. Far better. Someone else backs you. You just got to play.
Sure, I go in.
You go in?
Yeah.
But not your money. You are being backed.
Right. Does this guy have a gun?
Oh, that's way.
Hold on a second.
No. It's on the level.
Okay.
It's on the level.
Then I do it. Of course, you'd want to play the highest stakes that you possibly can. And that's why they're doing this.
That's going to be tasty. But I don't know if I could even step through the door. With someone else.
Poop your pants.
Oh, are you kidding? I'd go 2-7 offsuit, all in.
What's the most that you've gambled on any one hand? You've gone to Vegas, I know. We've talked about it in the past. So, like, sitting at a table, what's the most that you've put down on a hand?
Hand.
Yeah. Or at least sat down with at the table, willing to lose.
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you because I'm that cheap.
Right. Well, that's fair. See, that's
my thrills are cheap.
Yeah. But that's what it is. That's what I'm talking about on that $1 million stuff, right?
If somebody backed me, I couldn't say yes.
No,
honest to God. And if someone looked at me and said, Sid, I don't care how bad you are. I don't care what you win. I don't care what happens. I just want to have the story of you in the room with these sharks. Would you do it? I can't.
No.
I have zero faith. 2-7 offsuit, all in. That's what I would do.
You get that nervous?
Oh, yeah. I'd be like 21. I'd be playing the wrong game.
Hold on a second. I got a king. And a 7, I'm in.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it. You could do it.
17. I don't know if I could do it. I got my rear end headed to me. They're in a different level, but it'd be fun to do. I'll tell you that much. You know what else is fun to do, 6-0?
Rip as a party.
Rapid fire.
Now in studio, a guy we gambled on and lost. Timminson producer Jeff. Playboy as a party.
A man who shredded more than cheese, Jeff Asbardi.
Hey, I'm not a winner in this either. What's your favorite casino game? Las Vegas game.
Favorite Las Vegas casino game?
Yes.
Wheel of Fortune slots. That stuff's hilarious,
man.
It is
fun.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah?
I went online.
You get the free spin.
And I saw like the biggest slot hits of 2011. 18 of the 20, Tim, I'm not making this up, was that slot, the Wheel of Fortune slot. It was bizarre. So if you're going to Vegas, don't play anything else. Just play the Wheel of Fortune.
Don't play slots. It's a sucker's game. Another sucker's game that I love, Caribbean Stud Poker. Because the whole table plays. You can't screw anybody up and you kind of cheer for everybody.
Do you like Caribbean Stud Poker?
I love it. Yeah. It's a sucker's game, though. I know that, and I play it all the time.
What's more impressive, 20 assists or 30 rebounds?
Oh, so Rondo versus Bynum last night.
20 assists. Because you can't turn a positive or a negative into a positive with an assist like you can. Like, you can miss a shot and grab your own rebound. He had 8 offensive rebounds in that game.
I just think 30 rebounds is such a big boy stat.
It is a big boy stat. You're right.
Which game one of the NHL playoffs last night was the most surprising result? Was it the Flyers' comeback, the Kings' upset, or the Preds holding off?
Flyers' comeback.
Yeah, I was going to say Kings, but like for the Flyers to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, against the team that finished that way, 3-0.
Yeah.
Two quick ones. Who's your favorite all-time Blue Jay?
Alcabeza, Tony Fernandez.
I'm going to say, that's a great one. I'm going to say today's guest here on Tim and Sid, Jesse Barfield.
Lastly, what was your favorite childhood game? Was it what you guys been talking about all day? Is it wall ball? Athletic game.
I don't have enough time. We played this game where it was one man against everybody else holding a football. Once you got tackled, you had to throw it and you had to cross the line. It was crazy.
That's basically the original National Football League.
Yes, yeah. Basically,
people are running around just... Tim, help me out. What's the playground game? You had your whole class against the fence. There was one guy.
Red Rover.
Red Rear End?
No, it wasn't Red Rover. But everyone ran. And one by one, you had to tackle dudes to be on your team. And you just went after
British Bulldog.
The girl you had the crush on. That's all you did.
Good call. Basic, Sarah. Hands up.
So thank you, British Bulldog, for getting me through grades 5 through 8. I appreciate it.
And at that time, too, it was... Rapid fire.
My apologies, Tim. I took way too long.
No, that's
now
fine.
Now we're late.
What about Bob? You ask, we tell. Don't have enough time for what are you watching tonight, although there are some pretty good games. You know them. It's the NHL playoffs. Ian Leggett, Sportsnet, in studio. They'll talk golf. Darren Revelle, 420. John Furlong has a new gig. He is the Vancouver Whitecaps' new executive chairman. Glenn Healy, playoffs. Don Banks, you know the deal. And Martin Marizic will come in from Safe Brain Systems, Inc. They think they're taking a step towards concussion detection.
Okay.
With sensors in the helmet. He's going to bring the product in, explain it to Bob McCowan, and we're going to come to a resolution today.
Cool.
Or maybe get a little closer. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate that.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan is next. You've been listening to Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.